Welcome to Movie Crush, a production of iHeartRadio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Charles W. Chuck Bryant.
And today we're doing a Masterpiece Theater edition of Movie Crush.
I wish.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Sure, man.
Just read some Jane Eyre, you know?
Yeah.
Have you read
Kaufman
Jane Eyre?
Andy Kaufman used to do that. He used to read...
That's right.
What was he used to read?
He read... Was it Great Expectations? Was it The Great Gatsby? One of the greats.
I think it was The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
Just read the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
For, like, college audiences and shit.
Yeah.
You know? What a guy.
What a guy, Noel. What a guy. What a guy for you, too.
I miss Andy.
Old Smoky Velvet.
Hey, what are you now? Old 50%?
Oh, half-fuck Chuck.
Half-fuck Chuck. Is that the same as two-buck Chuck?
Oh, no.
No?
It's much worse.
Does that mean you don't... does that imply that you don't care about things?
I don't even know.
You don't know?
But it became a thing.
Has it been kicking around for a while?
From my words, from my mouth... What's that saying?
From your mouth to Aaron Cooper's Photoshop palette.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the saying.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing?
Doing really well, man. Things are fun and wild, and I'm having a really good time with this job.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
That's great, Noel.
Yeah, that's good. Got a lot of big stuff coming, like music-based stuff, which is really cool.
Well, Noel, do you have things outside of life that work that satisfies you, though? Because it can't all be about work.
No, I do that, too. It's kind of been, yeah.
Are you both a complete man?
Well, I'm working on it. I'm a 50% man. No, I'm a 70% man.
Right? Oh. Yeah.
That's not
you
bad.
Just said that because I'm 50%er.
I did.
Why you got to be like that?
I know, because that's just how I roll, man.
So what are you, 75?
I don't know. I'm approaching 80, I would say.
All right, I'm 82.
You're 82? Okay, fair enough. No, I'm good. I've got a girlfriend. Things are going well. We're doing a little getaway to a cabin in the Blue Ridge Mountains this
weekend. Oh, well.
With an outdoor hot tub.
Yeah, man. I should have, I didn't know you were, I'm sure you found a great place, but back when... Emily and I were doing the cabin thing every now and then. We found a great little small place, which is what you want when it's just a couple, you know?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
hard to find small places.
We got a small place.
Yeah, this was a great little one bedroom, and it was like literally sitting over the river.
This is on a river.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. there are a lot of those, Noel.
Well,
Chuck, it's the same place.
I think it might be the same place. I want to believe it's the same place. But remember that we talked about this last week, I think, the Will Ferrell sketch where he's the
yeah,
curvy
sure.
old dude,
uh-huh.
and they pronounce it the hot-tub.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up because this is all coming around, Noel.
Yeah?
A couple of 4 years ago or so, we rented a big cabin for Emily's birthday weekend and invited a bunch of people.
Love doing that, too.
And here's what I recommend, Noel. If this place has a guest book... Sign, and this is advice to everyone, if you ever stay anywhere with a guest book, my God, you need to take advantage of that comedy opportunity and sign that guest book in a fun way, because that is there forever.
I agree.
And so we went to that cabin, and like that Will Ferrell, that I took my inspiration from that bit, I wrote this page-long screed about me and all my friends and like... Just the disgusting sexy times we had there.
With your fine wines and cheeses.
Oh, my God,
and
dude.
And lotions
it
and oils.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
And I just sat there and busted it out and read it out loud to everyone. And they were like, did you plan that? Did you just make that up? I was like, yeah. They're like, my God, that seemed like you wrote it, you know, took hours to write it. It's like, really?
That's great, Chuck.
Yeah, I'll find that one day and read it on the air.
Surely you have a record of this Airbnb.
I took a photo of the page, yes.
Got it. Oh, the page.
Of the page that I wrote.
Because I want to go and stay in that exact house and then try to one-up you in the guest book. Dude, with a funnier screed.
What I really want to do is creep people out like, oh, my God, what happened here last weekend?
Also true, yeah.
All right, everyone. That's what you should do with your life. Go fill out funny guest book stuff.
I agree.
All right, Noel, I'm going to delete ketchup because we just did that. And I'm going to go right into corrections corner. There's not a lot of corrections, Noel. I've noticed that either people aren't catching our mistakes. I think that's what it is because we certainly make them. You know what I'm saying?
I know we're doing our best, Chuck.
Maybe
that's all
I
we can
just...
do. We're doing our level best.
And then people are putting things in here that aren't. If you got deleted, everyone, that's just because I'm trying to keep it tidy and organized on the corrections corner. So if you make some funny comment that's not a correction, we read it, we got a laugh, and we're moving on with our lives. So this one, though, Noel, pertains to you. And it's a guess at a correction because they think you might have meant something else. And
I'm sure I did.
Oh, man, what a great name. Eleni Calamaris says this. In Mini Crush 61, Noel refers to, we're talking about Susan Sarandon. And he said she should be in a, she should do a part in Pretty Little Liars. And she said, did he mean Big Little Lies?
Yes.
Isn't you did.
I did.
Oh,
I did.
Well, great.
Isn't
Man,
there?
She sniffed that out.
But there's a show called Pretty Little Liars.
I think so.
There is a show called Pretty Little Liars. I almost swear to God, but I absolutely meant Big Little Lies. And she knew that because I referred to the new season having Meryl Streep in it. Yeah.
Yeah, Pretty Little Liars is a show.
It's like an ABC kind of show, I believe. It's not premium. It's substandard.
Wow.
It's bargain basement television. That's what they call the networks these days.
Noel. So good job, Eleni. That is, and Krista Mora says, I caught that too. Mm-hmm. And Danielle Gingras says, I was also confused. Thanks for clearing that up. So nice job.
Sorry, guys.
Cleared that right up.
I'll do better.
And that's the only one we have because we're going to save this other one because there's only one more for the next episode. Next week, what I really mean is in 25 minutes.
Well, let's not let them peek behind the curtain that far, Chuck. But Chuck, burning question.
Oh,
or
God.
Should I say fiery and icy question.
Oh.
How about that Game of Thrones season premiere, my man?
I wouldn't know, man. I haven't seen that show in years.
You're not into... What do you mean in years?
I watched like the first couple of three seasons and then bailed.
You bailed after three seasons?
Yeah. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, it's just... It's my Lord of the Rings problem.
You're just wrong.
It's just too... There are quite a lot of people that don't like Game of Thrones, my friend.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Who are these people?
People like good TV.
Whoa. Whoa. You just threw down the proverbial gauntlet.
Hey, I know it's heresy to not like the most revered show of all time.
Most revered.
Yeah. Yeah, I got confused. It went on and on and on. There was too many.
Yeah,
my life was a lot cleaner without
characters. I could see that, Chuck. I kind of felt good about myself though, because there was a big old hiatus between these seasons. It was like longer than they've ever had, I believe.
How did you survive?
Well, that's I don't know, Chuck. Lots of booze and mini crushes mainly, but I was really surprised because everyone in the room who were also totally caught up were confused about who was who.
Yeah,
Yeah, but I kept nailing it. I kept nailing it. I was like, oh, that's Marjorie Tyrell. She was Loras's sister, who was the Knight of the Flowers, who was betrothed briefly to Sansa, but then it turns out he was gay, and he actually was in love with Stannis's brother, who ends up getting killed by a ghost in the mirror.
What if he just looked over right now, is hanging from a rope? Would that surprise you?
I mean, the look on your face is approaching that kind of. It's a slack jaw.
Here's the thing, man. I liked Game of Thrones while I was watching it. I'm not bagging on it. It's not bad TV. I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but it just got to be too much. And I was just like, no, I got to stop.
It's like a buy-in thing, right? Like you're either like on board with these characters and you give a shit about what happens to them, or you kind of just drift away. And you're
like, you can't casually view it.
You cannot casually view it.
And I think that's where I found myself.
I have viewed the seasons multiple times each, which is
God.
Also, you know what, Chuck? I'm not that guy, man. Yeah, I'm not that guy. I just really, 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 really like Game of Thrones a lot.
Okay.
I'm putting myself out there, Chuck.
No, I love it, man. You're certainly not alone. People love that show. All 3,000 episodes and 18,000 characters.
Dare I say I like it better than Harry Potter?
That's not true.
I find it to be a richer universe, much more grounded in our current reality.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right, Noel, good stuff. You made the Game of Thrones people happy.
Good.
Because they're into it.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge them.
You know, I'm right there with them.
Not yucking anyone's yum, except that I totally am. All right, we're going to start off with social studies.
Social studies on Movie Crush.
I asked the listening audience, Noel, recast this recast the movie that has your biggest casting gripe to make it great. The example I gave, of course, I've talked about it many times, Gangs of New York. Throw Kate Winslet in the role of Cameron Diaz, and it's a great film and not a good film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Cause
to me.
Something about you're right. It never even occurred to me, but something about Cameron Diaz in that role didn't sit quite right with me. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, maybe the fact that she seems like she's a Venice Beach surf girl.
That's true.
And not a period 19th century Irish lass.
Also true.
Yeah. All right, here we go, Noel. Jeff Clark, our old pal, says this. Right off the top of the dome, Vince Vaughn in the second season of True Detective put Sam Rockwell in that role.
That would have been good.
You can kind of say that about most roles. Put Sam Rockwell in that role. It's going to be pretty great.
I'll tell you, that's very true. And our boy Aaron Cooper has a really funny one of these that I caught. I hope you get to it, but if you don't, I'll remember it. But no, it's the season two of True Detective was confounding on a lot of levels, but that one constantly stuck in my craw.
I didn't watch it.
I'm like, Vince Vaughn's a big old goofball. That's how I think of him.
Sure.
And, you know, that's I guess that's just how it is for Vince Vaughn.
He's earned that.
I'm sure he's a fine actor. But in this one, A, he's not that good an actor. He seems just a little like he doesn't quite know how to play the character because he's meant to be this brooding kind of mob boss, and it just doesn't read. It just reads kind of silly, you know?
Yeah.
That was bothersome.
I heard so many bad things about that season that I just didn't watch it. I'm not even going
to
do it.
I found it a chore to get through.
Yeah.
See. And I loved season one so much. So much. And I think that's the problem, too, is people are like telling me, revisit season two. It wasn't as bad as you remember. You were looking at it through the lens of season one, and your expectations were so high that you gave it shit that it maybe didn't deserve.
What, you and the rest of the planet Earth?
Exactly. So that's my whole point. No, I'd rather not. Thank you. I have other. I have Game of Thrones to rewatch.
Christopher King says, Denzel Washington as Christ in Passion of the Christ. Make some waves. Hey, putting Denzel Washington in a film is never a bad idea. Although I will say, it's not like Willem Dafoe. He was great in that movie. He didn't ruin that film.
I'm talking about Passion of the Christ.
The Passion of the Christ. Martin Scorsese's The Passion of the Christ.
No, that's The Last Temptation of Christ.
Oh, really?
Passion of the Christ is Jim Caviezel. It's the Mel Gibson one, the torture porny one, you know, where Jesus just gets thrashed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What about Two Christ, Two Furious?
That would be great.
Was that Vin Diesel?
With The Rock and Vin Diesel.
They were both.
Yeah.
All right, Noel. Louis Silva, or Lewis, I'm going to just mispronounce your name for the rest of your life.
Is it L-U-I-S?
Mm-hmm.
It might be Luis.
Luis, Louis, or Lewis.
There you go.
Silva. The Matrix. Love the movie. But when I see Keanu, I can't help but think that Christian Bale would have been perfect. Controversial.
That's the thing, though. That movie is so ingrained in the zeitgeist, you can't go back.
I'm trying to get Keanu, by the way.
Keanu is Neo. Really?
Mm-hmm.
How's your super secret interview booking going on?
That was...
Huh?
What are you talking about? That was Chris Walken.
Oh, that was the one?
Yes.
No, you told me you had another like super duper like dreamy one.
Oh, yeah. That was Tarantino.
It didn't happen?
Yeah, I can go ahead and reveal that one. But when ad sales, believe it or not, had a deal going for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they were like, we're trying to package something for this with the movie company. Would you have Tarantino on? I was like, well, what do you think? I was like, just hope he doesn't listen to the show.
And it fell through?
You know how those ad sales things are. Yeah. Like you hear about it once and you just never hear about
just
it again.
Ah.
Yeah. So many of those things happen.
That's a bummer.
What if he came in and he's like, okay, so I need an editor? Was the first thing out of his mouth.
That's right. Because, wait, didn't you guys did a whole Tarantino extravaganza with the Drunken Lizard guys?
Drunken Lizard?
The Drunken Lizard
Broken
guys.
Lizard.
That was Reservoir Dogs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
That was
a clutch episode.
On the way upstairs, they were like, hey, can we talk about Reservoir Dogs?
Let's do it.
I was like, sure, that'd be great. All right, our old friend Kayla M.H. says, Halle Berry is Storm for X-Men. She's an African princess and goddess, a much more powerful force than what Halle portrayed. One thing I've noticed here, though, Kayla, you did not recast the film.
That's true. She didn't offer an alternative.
You've got to offer the alternative.
Whoever's playing her in the new one that's about to come out, which I heard we had a very troubled production. It's called like Dark Phoenix or something like that. I heard they like reshot all kinds of stuff. It's got Sansa Stark from Game of Thrones in it.
Gray. That looks good.
I thought the trailer looked pretty good, but I read some, you know, Hollywood insider stuff saying that it wasn't going to be good.
That it was a really problematic
production, that they had to reshoot all kinds of stuff. Ooh. And that it was maybe going to feel. Remember, there was that Fantastic Four reboot pretty recently that like was very similar to that, where it just like people just hated it. It just didn't make any sense. It was like
the
continuity was all messed up. I think it's like one of those. But hopefully I'll be proved wrong. But the person who's playing Storm in that is awesome and looks to be Nigerian or South African or something like that, or have, you know, really.
I think you are correct, mm-hmm. because she makes a very brief appearance in it. But I was like, oh, wait a minute. I think mm-hmm. they got this one right.
Yep.
So Kayla goes on to not recast like four other things. So come on, Kayla. Get it together. Nick Kelly's picking on Keanu, too. He says, replace Keanu in Bram Stoker's Dracula. Fair enough. That wasn't his best role. Replace him with Sam Neill. Okay.
Does he need to be a little younger, though? I feel like that character needs to be younger. Like Keanu's age. Sam Neill's a little over the hill for that role.
Well, was he in 1988 or whenever that came out?
Dracula?
Yeah.
Sam Neill's been old since the beginning of time. He's certainly older than Keanu Reeves.
All right, we're going to look, Noel.
Let's do it.
I'm going to do it right here in real time. Sam Neill age, except I typed in Bezamel. Besame Neill age.
Besame mucho?
I've gotten so lazy, man. I'll just let things autocorrect. Oh, dear God, he's 71.
Yeah, dude.
Keanu's what?
Probably 50 at the most.
I think he's like 52 or 53. Yeah. He's 54.
Okay.
All right, yeah. Sam Neill. Getting up there.
Yeah. But he's still
He's chiseled out of stone, Noel. Yeah. Handsome man. Joshua Brennan says, Chris Pratt instead of Shia LaBeouf in Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull. Hell yes.
Yeah, he certainly.
Especially at the time. Before
good at the physical comedy.
Before Chris Pratt became an adventure guy. This would have been his first sort of role like that.
That's true.
Yeah, that would have been great, man. Get the LaBeouf out of there.
Yeah, I think the problem though is Chris. Well, no. Yeah, no, I think that would have worked. Yep, that would have been good. Why are you so anti-LaBeouf?
He's
you just don't like his public persona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
He's kind of a prick.
Yeah.
He's done some really douchey stuff.
Yep.
Yep. That makes sense.
That'll
fair.
Do it, man.
That's totally fair, dude.
He's not a terrible actor, but I don't know. I can't get over that stuff. Mitch Hawkins says this. Put Danny DeVito instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger in any of his movies.
What?
I think he's just having some fun.
Like in Twins? Aren't they in Twins?
They're both in it together.
Yeah.
So he would play Twins.
Yeah, they would play
but
the
then
twin.
You lose the joke.
You lose the joke. Yeah. I can't believe they never made Twins 2. That would have been fun.
Oh, my God. Someone Twins 2?
Yeah.
It's still not a tumor.
It's not a tumor. Well, that's from Kindergarten Cop.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Jesus, man.
It's okay, man.
I'm mixing all my metaphors. I didn't see either one of those movies, believe it or not.
They're not good.
Yeah.
They're not good. That's not true. That's not fair. Twins was pretty funny. Kindergarten Cop is a...
I've seen parts.
...is a culturally important film. I just remember...
Hot take.
I just remember boys have a penis, girls have a vagina. That's a very... Like a child says that in the movie, and it just tickles me to this day.
Oh, goodness. Chris Good says basically anybody other than Russell Crowe in Les Miserables.
He was real bad in that.
Yeah.
Real bad.
I don't know much about 40-odd foot of grunt, but he is not a great singer.
No. And the thing is, though, that movie, they were definitely leaning on, like, the singing not being perfect. That was part of it. And that, like, most of them were actors who were not Broadway people.
Yeah.
But everyone crushed it. And obviously, Hugh Jackman is a incredibly well-trained Broadway singer, but everyone crushed it. But then you've got this weird Russell Crowe kind of just limping along, and it just was sad, and it took you right out of it, you know?
Right out of it. Mike Sassine says, oh, geez, I don't know if he's trolling or not, but he stirred up some ire. Take Jeff Goldblum out of Jurassic Park and replace him with Hugh Jackman? Mike, he shrugged and just said, I don't know, I like Hugh Jackman. I find it hard to believe that somebody wants to take Jeff Goldblum out of anything. It's like he thought Jeff Goldblum ruined that movie. I guess everyone has their own opinion, Noel.
Wait, which one? Sorry, I got distracted.
He said, take Jeff Goldblum out of Jurassic Park.
No.
And put in Hugh Jackman.
What?
You kidding me?
That's crazy talk. I mean, Goldblum's going to Goldblum, okay? That's how he's going to be. But that worked for that role.
Yeah, he's going to bloom it up.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Amorosino says, Jake Gyllenhaal is young Anakin. I would totally have dug that. He would have been near the right age, I think. Brian Stevens says, replace Jared Leto in Suicide Squad with Jake Busey. Jake Busey is certainly kind of a creepy-looking guy. You know?
He always plays kind of an albino culty freak. Does that make sense? Can you picture that? With his weird grin and his, like, blonde eyebrows, you know? They're
he
so
hasn't
blonde.
Been in a ton of stuff.
They're so blonde that they're almost invisible. He was in something where he played a blonde, weird albino, like psychopath.
Yeah.
And what is it? It's like it was like he was.
I know totally what you're talking about. It's
he was a culty guy.
I don't know.
Fuck.
Carolyn Gaston, our old friend. Says, Johnny Depp has no place in the Fantastic Beasts franchise or any movie ever. Yeah, they're getting a lot of heat for that, for sure. And let's do one more here. Let's recast one more film. Well, we're going to do two more because our old friend Jeff Noel has a funny little line. My casting change would be to replace Rob Schneider in every movie he's in with a potted plant.
I like it.
Oh, Rob Schneider, man. That guy gets a lot of shit, doesn't he?
Yeah, I just kind of, you know, it's so hard to be in SNL and to be one of those people. They're like some of the most talented human beings in the world.
Yeah.
And he's just always kind of struck me as kind of a turd. Like, he's just not very funny. He just kind of does the same thing.
There's a turd-like quality.
There's a certain turd-like potted plantness to him. You know, it's like someone took a shit in a potted plant. I'm kidding. That's not nice.
Maybe it's all the corn.
I just don't understand why he gets to be in that illustrious crew of, like, talented people.
Oh, sure. Like, why was he even on that show?
Yeah, that's my question. It's like, what was the hook with Rob Schneider?
Huh.
Didn't he do Making Copies? Was that him?
Yeah. And, I mean, I never thought that sketch was funny.
Yeah.
But it became a part of sort of the zeitgeist. Like, people were walking around talking like that for a little while. The Copy Man.
Hey, Rob Schneider. Remember the he had a run of really like sub Adam Sandler movies, like
sub Sandler.
Yeah, like the Animal. There was one where he like. I mean, it was just.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
he's
just
an interesting
the broadest of the broad. You know.
All right, let's go with one more here from Nicole Parks. I still think the 50 Shade series would have been better with Charlie Hunnam as Christian Grey. I know it's trash. But it's a guilty pleasure for me. Fair enough, Nicole, fair enough. All right, not bad, everyone. Those of you who follow the directions, you did pretty good. And now, Noel, we are going to move on to another social studies segment. And I am going to, well, I don't have a weird name for this, but I'm just going to say the worst movie title ever. You know, a bad movie title can really take away from a film, don't you think?
Absolutely.
And I don't even know, like, first of all, I said name the worst movie title that does not contain a colon, because all movie titles with colons are terrible titles. A lot of times it stands a chance of being a bad movie as well. But there are certainly decent movies with colons, but it's just lazy. Don't put a colon in your movie title. But what did I see? No, I didn't see the movie. What was that Matthew McConaughey movie? Free State of Jones? Yes.
I'm not aware.
Free State of Jones. Terrible title.
There was also that one that I want to say he was also in called, like, John from Cincinnati.
That was a TV show.
Yes. But wasn't that kind of a bad name, too, that made you like, what? I don't. And it was a weird concept in the first place, and the name was just didn't do it any favors?
Well, I mean, that's a very divisive show because it was I loved it. It was the great David Milch. So
that's right.
I thought it was awesome. I think it was very misunderstood, and it did not get to you know, I think it only had one season.
I know it did. Yeah.
And it was building this whole thing. I was like, is this guy Jesus? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I was intrigued. I remember, like, enjoying the first season very much.
But I liked it,
I do think that the title was a little weird and it didn't really give you much of a sense or even make you intrigued because it was just kind of like a, wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. What else you got?
Well, Samantha HL says Edge of Tomorrow doesn't reflect the movie to her and it's just bland.
Do you know they rebranded it? They changed it to Live, Die, Repeat?
No, no, no. I thought Live, Die, Repeat was the original title.
I thought it was the other way around when they released it because they thought Edge of Tomorrow was so bland and nothing that they released it with the other title after the fact.
No, I mean, it was released as Edge of Tomorrow.
No, I know. What I'm saying is like when they released it on video like or on demand or whatever.
What?
Let me see.
All right. Check it out, Noel, while you're doing that. Here someone says, when it came to DVD and Blu-ray, Live, Die, Repeat was given equal billing. So the spine reads Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow. Thank you, Aaron Alt, for that.
Got it.
Makes sense. I thought I knew Live, Die, Repeat was the...
It was like the tagline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Edge of Tomorrow, I kind of agree. Not the, and it was a really good film, I thought. Nat Ziski says, you can count on me, and I absolutely love this movie. Well, Nat, that's one of my favorites. And on its face, I would agree that it's not a great title. But in the movie, that plays a part because, if I'm not mistaken, I haven't seen it in years and years, but Mark Ruffalo and Laura Linney are brother and sister. And they have that scene at the very end where he's saying, you know, remember what we used to say to each other, And they never say it out loud, but what they were always used to say to each other was, you can count on me. So
sure,
I think it fits because of that, but I do agree on its face. It's a little odd. And Bennett Duckworth said the same thing about you can count on me. Vanessa Lopez, our old friend, says Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, almost as long and boring as the movie itself. Oh, and she said, I know it's the name of the novel, but she got a lot of uplikes for that. I think it's kind of a fun name, but that's just me. Let me see. Kayla MH, our old pal, says Lucky Number 11. Yeah, that's a bad title. David Gooch says Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. You like that title, don't you, Noel?
I do.
Rob Dickinson says The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
That's just a very descriptive title. A little dry.
I like it for that reason,
yeah,
because it's so sort of over the top.
It sounds like an old-timey newspaper
headline. I think that was the angle.
Or something like that.
That's exactly what they were going for. I get it, though, that people have a problem with that. Julia Lurch says this, any movie that follows the naming formula, verbing, noun, always sounds corny and uncreative. Julia, I agree. There was a time those really, really hit heavy in the 90s. And I got so tired. I don't know the first movie to really do that. But, I mean, surely you remember all those movies, dude. And there was just a plethora of them.
Oh, my gosh. There were so many of those. There was, like, Surviving the Game, you know, regarding Henry. Like you said, all those, like, with the ING.
Chasing Amy.
And I'm sure if that would be a good list.
Being John Malkovich is an exception.
Being John Malkovich is a good film.
But man, I don't like it when something takes over the industry and all of a sudden everyone's doing the same thing.
Well, it's sort of like band names where there was like a, you know, the whatevers. That was there was a big moment for that, like the Strokes,
Which is funny because that's the oldest band naming convention in history.
It absolutely is. But then there was like a golden time for it. There was also a band with like animal names. That was a big thing with bands for a while. Animal names like Wolf Parade and Frog Eyes.
My old friend from Athens, who's a garage punk guy, said, if your band doesn't start with a V and end with an S, then you're doing it wrong.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But that was like in the history of like the Cramps and stuff like that.
Yeah. The Kinks.
Yeah, exactly.
The Beatles.
Sam Smother says The Shawshank Redemption.
Sam Smother?
Yeah.
Is he one of the Smothers brothers?
I don't think so. Shawshank Redemption, that's a great title. Maybe
a little confounding,
is that retrospective,
maybe?
Though?
Maybe if you don't know what it is. It's sort of like the Hudsucker proxy. That's another one where it's like, what the hell is this movie about? And what is a Hudsucker? And what even is a proxy?
Yeah. You know? Nick Kelly agrees about Edge of Tomorrow. But he says Live, Die, Repeat's an even worse title.
Oh, it's very bad.
I don't know about that. Zach Pointer, our old friend. By the way, Zach, our friend in Japan, sent us some Japanese movie flyers in the mail. It's very
nice. You mean like promo type stuff?
Yeah, they give away these little promo flyers.
Like handbills?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got a big stack of them, Noel.
Cool.
You can have half of them.
I would love to see them.
He says, basketball and Beavis and Butthead do America.
Oh, come on. You're really going to go for the basketball was a stupid name on purpose. It was a stupid concept.
Sure.
And what else were Beavis and Butthead going to do? They were going to do America.
Oh, Jonathan Cooley, 8 heads in a duffel bag.
Yeah. I get where you guys are coming from, but these movies seem like really easy targets because they're meant to be dumb and offensive and
sure.
Tacky, right? 8 heads in a duffel bag was a very tacky movie.
Yeah. This is a bad title. Patty Little Chang says, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That's pretty bad.
That is bad.
But again, within the movie, that was the name of the article that she was writing.
Mm-hmm.
But still, not a good movie
title.
But
is it any worse or better than 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon?
That's a great song.
Exactly.
Get off the bus, Gus.
Get it off. Get off the bus. Get up,
make a new plan,
don't
Stan.
Don't look back, Jack.
Don't need to be coy, Roy.
Yeah. Get yourself free.
Jordan Ramirez says the Hudsucker Proxy, Noel. So she's right there with you.
No, I stand by that one. And I didn't see that movie for years because it seemed – I was confused about what it was.
Yeah.
And it's an odd little movie. So it makes sense that, you know, what are you going to call it? Other, you know, hey, it's for kids? The Hula Hoop story? Like, I don't know. Remember, what's about the Hula Hoop is at the center of that movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very, very much. Alex Buck, we're going to finish with Alex, says, extremely loud and incredibly close. Again, it's a novel. Sometimes they'll change the novel title, though, and just call it, like, Incredibly Close.
Incredibly Close.
And then people that love the novel will be like, why do you got to do that?
I would have just called it Extremely Loud.
Extremely Loud?
No, that's a 9/11 story.
I think so, yeah.
I believe it is.
It's about a kid searching for – did I read that?
Isn't it by the guy that wrote Everything is Illuminated?
I think so.
Yeah. Jonathan
Safran
Foer? Ferrari?
All right, Corrections Corner. I hope you're paying attention, everyone.
Give it to us. It doesn't count if we are knowing about our ignorance.
How long have we been going, my friend?
32.
All right. I think that does it then.
I like it.
This is a nice tight 30, as they call it in the comedy world.
Is that what they call it?
Well.
Thought it was a tight 5.
I wouldn't know.
A tight 10. 30 seems interminable for a comedy set, unless you're really good.
That's not a tight 30. Yeah. It's a loose 10.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Noel, that's it for me.
Yeah, I guess I got nothing to do.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being a friend.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.